Can you turn me down a little bit, my headphones?
I can try.
Okay.
So how was your holiday season?
It's summer here, so it's a bit different to yours, I'd say. Yeah, pretty good. Just, taking some much-needed rest. How about you guys?
Oh, we've been on the road, 24/7.
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
I had to start working again, so my life's basically hell.
I'm Nathan Ferrugia, the author of The Chimera Vector, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
I was raised to do one thing. But I've got nothing to fight for.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it.
The dark side. The Jedi.
Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
Jonathan,
Logan.
And in tonight's episode, we are going to be discussing The Force Awakens, the latest Star Wars movie. And we have a special guest today coming to us from Melbourne, Mr. Nathan Ferrugia. Nathan, thank you for coming back on.
My pleasure. Good to see you guys.
I hope it'd be nice if we could see each other in person sometime.
Yeah. Oh God, let's meet in the middle on a boat.
Yeah,
my wife's mom's actually.
We'd
from
have
Australia.
To win the lottery, so.
Yeah, Lenny's.
Oh, there we go.
Mother-in-law is from Australia.
She and her father. He's 93, and he still lives there. So they
wow.
They apparently don't put the same thing in the water there.
So if they could give us room and board, we could totally afford the rest.
I just wanted to ask you before we got started on the whole bit tonight, because we were just discussing this today, actually. Her mother got a call from her father, which is the 93-year-old gentleman. He lives on that. I can't remember what the lake's called, but there's this big lake there, and there's a great white shark in it. Is that anywhere near where you're at, or have you even heard of that? I know it's a whole continent, but I'm just saying, it was just really interesting to me, and I wonder if you even heard of that.
I haven't heard of that. So it's a great white shark.
It's a saltwater lake. He lives on the coast, I think, on the northern side.
I've never heard of that. I prefer the great white sharks in a lake contained in the ocean where
you
I
know
swim.
Where it can't get.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
That's true. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
We have to mention that Nathan is the author of The Chimera Vector. Seraphim.
In the series.
Sequence. So, the Foundation? No, that's your friends that you sent me, wasn't it, Nathan?
That's the foundation by Stevenson. He also lives in Melbourne, so there you go.
I did finish that.
Don't worry, Richard will edit this part.
No, I won't. I'm too tired. I'm too tired.
He really won't. he tells you he's going to, but he doesn't.
The fifth column series.
The fifth column. There you go.
We're going to jump in with Force Awakens, then we'll talk to Nathan about some of his other upcoming projects in the actual fourth book he's working on, because we got to get that downloaded, and I got to talk to you, see how we're going to be able to do this. But we're going to start with Force Awakens. April, myself, Lenny, Logan, Nathan has watched it. Jonathan is the odd man out. However, we are going to be a spoiler podcast.
Isn't that natural, though? Aren't I always the odd man out?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's okay with the spoilers.
Yes, I am. I'm okay
with
it.
He wasn't okay, but we hit him with a few clubs outside. Now he's okay with whatever.
Since Nathan, you're our guest, we're going to start with you. What are your thoughts of just the movie in general? And we'll just go around the board eventually.
Me first. All right.
If not, we can start. It's up to you.
Yeah, I actually had mixed feelings about it. First of all, I thoroughly enjoyed it, so that was a relief.
True.
Yeah, it pretty much erased the prequels from my memory, which is probably a good thing. So we'll just pretend they don't exist at all.
It's been long enough.
Yeah, no, I really thought that I only had one major criticism of it, which no one else, or everything that everyone else is talking about when they criticize or what they didn't like about The Force Awakens didn't bother me, really.
Okay.
So, such as, you know, it borrowed so much from A New Hope, or it's just the same story, or, you know, how certain... Trying not to spoil things too much.
Oh, no, don't worry about
ahead,
it.
Nathan,
don't worry.
Go ahead.
Because when I tell my version, I'm going to spoil everything.
All right. Well, you know, I'll just be vague about it.
Just jump right
you
in.
You know, I mean, there is a major old character who bites the dust, and, you know, that was criticized on how that was handled.
Wait, wasn't, yeah, there was a major...
Good. I thought it was honestly...
Don't worry, I'll tell you soon.
I thought that was handled great.
And somebody actually in this country actually bit the dust for telling the people in line for the next showing that as he came out, he like got beat down by three people dressed as stormtroopers, and then the cops showed up and called it justifiable. They said he was a terrorist.
Wait, did that actually happen?
Yeah, that really did happen in Texas, I think.
I thought that was a satire.
A hoax?
I don't know. You know, honestly, I'm not that news savvy. So when I first heard about it, it seemed real, and no one ever told me it was a hoax. So
either way, it's hella funny.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a planned stunt thing, that was just kind of corny. Because there were other people in line, I'm sure, that weren't in on it that were still spoiled. Like an opening night, I can see people being pretty outraged by that, but that just seems like something that Texans would do. So I totally,
wow,
I totally okay. bought it. I totally
talk
bought
about
it.
Stereotypical things that Texas would do.
Hey man, go to Texas if you don't believe me.
I have a family who lives over in Texas.
Yeah, me too. So it doesn't mean I like
them. But back to the actual death. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with how they handled it, but it wasn't exciting how they handled it either. Like, to me, it was pretty obvious from right when he got... Okay, when they ended up in the same room together...
Okay, just say the name.
Here we go.
When Han Solo got killed by his son, Ben.
Okay, thank you.
A.K.A. Kylo Ren. Okay,
there we
go.
The ice is broken.
So basically,
it's out in the open. Oh, Lordy.
So for me, like, the moment when they were planning the bombs and everything, when Han and Chewie were... The moment... Ren showed up on that walk, walkway, yeah, the catwalk, and Han was, and they were in the same spot. I was like, his ass gonna die.
Well, I kind of figured that's who you guys were talking about, because Lenny had said something about it earlier, and I'm just like, why is Lenny talking about
it? Is that the thing that bothered you, Nathan, or I don't think you were finished?
No, I mean, I agree with you guys, like, it's pretty obviously, you know, a setup.
Yeah.
They walk out on this catwalk and there is no handrail. So you think.
I know, already this is not a good situation.
It's not a good sign.
So now my question is Rylo or
Kylo Ren?
Kylo Ren, is he Han Solo and Princess Leia's son?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Ben Solo.
They got busy with it.
They got busy. All right.
Everything good that happens in Star Wars is between
best,
movies.
Yeah. And the best thing,
like, nothing good ever happens during the
Yeah, that's
the
another
films.
Thing that pissed me
so,
off. That
so Princess good. Leia's son went to the dark side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
We get to that. Anyways, back to your actual critique, Nathan.
Yeah. So, I mean, that didn't really bother me so much. I mean, I agree, you know, probably could have been handled a little better, but you knew it was something like that was going to happen, I guess. But yeah, no, a lot of things about the movie I loved. I just thought that so much of it was wonderfully done. And, you know, the characters, the world, they kept it quite... just the attention to the landscapes and everything was still very, you know, very Earth-like and still very exotic. Even though it started off on a, you know, a desert environment, it didn't feel like we were just back at the same place again. Still felt a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't, I don't, you know, at least they didn't rehash the same backstory as Luke Skywalker.
I need to go to Tashi Station.
Yeah. And I mean, the costume designs, the characters, you know, it
God
was
damn,
just amazing.
Leia's hair sucked.
Did it really? What was wrong with it?
It was Leia's hair. Not Leia's, I'm sorry, Rey's.
Rey's, okay.
Oh, Rey's?
I thought you actually did hate Leia's hair in this one.
It wasn't terrible.
She hates most hair.
I do hate most hair. I'm a picky hair person. The hair tells you so much.
So, how often, I mean, did they even bring Luke Skywalker into this movie?
Oh,
we'll get to that
at the end. Oh.
See what he did there?
Well, I think with me, I enjoyed it because, like everything you said, Nathan, it was just getting back to fun.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the prequels enough, but it dealt a little bit more with the drama side and tried to do the romantic side. That's probably
well,
its
if you
biggest
think about
faltering.
It, this whole story revolves around one family.
True.
That's like this is like the freaking Tudors.
Well, the Tudors story is about one family.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind that, but it was just getting back to the action, the fun within it. The comedic elements felt natural instead of forced like they were in the prequels. Yeah. Even though I like the prequels, it just felt a little bit more natural.
Wait a minute, what comedic elements were in the prequels?
Well,
Mr. Jar Jar.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks.
You know, that I guess that's what's wrong with me. I took that character totally seriously, but now that I think about it. That makes sense.
And we never actually got to his one part where he disliked
it. Yeah, we're real bad interrupters. I'm sorry about that in advance.
I don't think Dad even realized
it. I don't think he did. He just like, so on to me.
But anyway, what was it you didn't like, though? You said there's one part that kind of faltered for you.
Yeah, well, the thing that I didn't like about it, and it's really so such a simple thing, really. And it really, I guess, it comes back to, it's sort of two things combined into one. One side of it is J.J. Abrams has he's built his career on mystery. You know, he withholds right. and keeps secrets, and The Force Awakens is full of secrets and keeping things in the dark, which is really part of the story. I'm not going to criticize, you shouldn't have kept any secrets because that wouldn't have worked otherwise. But yeah, the one thing that I found an issue, and it might not have been an issue in an earlier draft, it might have just been cut to make way for more of the story afterwards. It would be really interesting to see, you know, some of the earlier drafts, and I understand quite a few people were getting in there and changing the script right up to when they were shooting, so who knows, you know, what it was like beforehand. But I found with... one thing I loved was the main new characters as well.
Right.
It's Rey. Is that one of the main characters? Yeah.
Rey's
the main character.
And Finn.
Finn and Poe Dameron.
And I thought they were great. I loved you know, I loved their interactions, and they sort of had really great moments, you know, a lot of humor as well throughout. So I really liked that. But the whole movie pretty much shrouds her backstory in secrecy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think that's necessary for what comes next, but, you know, and we're sort of left to, you know, make some educated guesses on where she fits into things. And I think a lot of, you know, fans who are well-versed probably, you know, they probably know where she fits in. But, yeah, it just one problem that I had for me, and this is one side of it, is that her motivations just for why she was staying, wanting to stay on the planet, it was all a little unclear. Oh. And it made it a little hard for me. I don't know whether you guys found this, but it made it a little hard for me to get 100% behind her and see the story through her eyes, because that's, I don't know, for me she was the surrogate for the audience intentionally, and that I wanted to, you know, see the story through her. So that kind of struggled for me. And the other side of it was the first, I don't know, maybe the first half, the first third, they meet up with some of the older characters, so these new characters meet Han Solo and Chewbacca. And they're not really given... I would have liked to have seen more character development, them getting to know each other and starting to care about each other a little more. Mm-hmm. I think that if that would have really made the movie a whole lot better. Because you get to the later points when you have all of this massive drama and really emotionally intense scenes that take place and events, but you've just got sort of Rey on the sidelines watching for sort of the whole movie. She's coming in as a new character, but she's doesn't really know, you know, these older characters enough, I guess, that, you know, her reactions aren't really earned. So that was probably the thing for me that I would have liked to have. I think it sort of, you know, rushed ahead into the action and into the plot and into the main sort of spectacle of the movie, that I didn't really get enough of that. So, and I think as an older fan of the older Star Wars movies, I was able to engage through older characters like Han Solo, and I think I enjoyed it more. But I did notice, and I don't know whether you know, what you found with people watching the movie who hadn't seen the old ones, maybe they were younger, or they don't really remember the older movies. I did find that new people coming in, when I walked out of the cinema, the reaction was pretty varied. It was, you know, some people were shrugging their shoulders and going, "Well, that was okay," or some people didn't like it. And I realized that's because they probably didn't love Harrison Ford's character as much as I did, or some of the old characters.
Right.
They weren't already there emotionally with them, so it was just
they don't understand.
Movie.
Yeah.
Well, Lenny's wife actually was a newbie to this, and I
yeah, it was her first Star Wars ever.
What did she think? Did she mention anything when she got home?
Well, she was so excited about it that she made me go get all the first six episodes, and then she insisted that we start at four. So, and we haven't gotten through them yet, but we've watched four, five, and six. And now she wants to go back and watch the prequels in the order they came out instead of in the order they're supposed to go in. Okay. And so she was, but then she has, you know, me to talk to and, you know.
You can inform her on.
Well, you know, and whenever she asks questions, you know, like she was curious enough about it to be interested enough to find out more about. And also she had my reactions to go off, like when Han Solo died, I literally fell over in my seat and died, like literally died. And so after they, you know, rebooted me, then she's like, well, you know, my husband cares a great deal for this character that they just evilly murdered, and and I have something else to say about that, but I'll wait for my turn. And so yeah, so she you know, she was really excited about the idea of seeing the rest of them and knowing exactly what was going on. So it was like a double prequel relapse. Like the originals were also prequels for her, and now we're going to do them in the total reverse. Which and she wanted, I think she wanted to do that because she also wanted to watch the technology grow.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I'll get to the rest of how I feel about that. But yeah, I can see how they're... My kids, on the other hand, my one son was really into the Clone Wars cartoon and watched pretty much all of that. So he loved it. And my other two boys that weren't really already indoctrinated, like you were talking about, Nathan, into the cartoon, or into the older episodes or anything like that. They were just kind of blah. They were like, you know, kind of like talking during it. I had to switch seats with my wife.
Hey, didn't one of them call Chewbacca a bear?
Oh, I don't remember. Trust me, Logan, I totally zone out everything they say while I'm watching a movie.
No, this was afterwards.
Oh, man. All the time. Okay.
Wipe that from your memory.
I agree with you, though, if I can interject that. I think that they were so elusive with Rey. I saw straight through her. For me, I was just like, so that's Luke Skywalker's daughter. I wonder who the mom is. Like, and then in the end, whenever, you know, like she find, but by the time that she actually, sorry, Jonathan, finds him, by the time she actually finds him, it's like, you know, I'd known for 20 minutes and they still haven't said, but just the fact that she has his helmet. And she's waiting for someone, a man. And I don't know if it ever says a male, but...
I think it's actually both.
Yeah, it's just waiting for her parents.
She says parents. I don't really know exactly what care they left her in, but I believe that Luke was afraid to... He wanted to keep her away from the Force because of what happened to Ben Solo, because of what happened to Anakin. He thinks his blood is no good. So that, and I mean, I've already got all that figured out. If I'm wrong, whatever, but I can almost guarantee that that's exactly what's up. Because, and for me, it was like, when she was sitting there with his helmet, I'm like, oh, I bet Luke Skywalker's in this one. Look, there's his helmet. And it may not have been his, but it was a gold wing, and it looked pretty familiar. Pretty
similar. Well, yeah. talking about Rey a lot and everything, I don't know. I thought, the reason, like, when she turned down Han Solo, that job, she turned a job down for, you know, flying around with him. And she said, and she was like, no, I got to get back to my crap planet where I'm treated like crap. Everything looks like crap. Everyone treats each other like crap. I'm just like, that's so dumb. I mean, I kind of get the whole...
Drop by there and leave forward.
My family left me here, and they're coming
back. And she's loyally waiting for them, and the thing is,
but
it's like...
But to me, it's like...
That's
girl,
like Haji. Like, humans aren't like that. Like, that's dog loyalty. Like, that's like the cat would have the cat would have turned the planet into a sandbox long ago.
Haji.
Yeah, Haji. But Haji. Well, I'm serious. Like, she's got like dog pissed. Loyalty to. Sorry.
I'm agreeing with you. Like,
yeah.
there's not a lot of female characters, lead characters that you like, April.
I know. Well, and the thing is, it's because all of the female characters that I like are either very bitter or anti-hero, like, you know, they're not the typical hero, female hero, you know, and that's why I don't like Rey because I don't like characters that come off as goody two shoes.
Oh, is that
you know,
what,
can
is
do
it,
no
is
wrong.
That what she comes up with she
to me
she kind
she
of likes
did.
Her degree.
Okay. Yeah.
So
and
she's
that's why it's like
she's
ugh.
Pretty much, maybe Luke Skywalker's daughter.
That's the
nothing's definite, but that's
she
speculation.
Is.
Okay.
She is.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
I know it for sure.
You know it for sure, but we don't know it for sure. We're not Lenny.
What do you think, Nathan? Do you think it's Skywalker?
It probably is. Yeah, probably. I have to agree with your confidence there. But I mean, the problem for me is we're left guessing. Like there was this sort of flashback kind of. Almost lucid dream scene when she finds, sort of halfway through the movie, I think, you know, where she finds a lightsaber below that sort of, that character, Moz is a new character, but
she's
below that sort of cantina-like place.
Yeah.
So, which is also...
Go ahead.
Which is also coincidental, like, you know, just everything happening there, I think, is probably just because they'd rewritten the script 20 times, but... That was the only taste we really got of what was going on, and we just got these fragments of flashbacks to explain, and it just really felt like J.J. Abrams really keeping things elusive and secret,
It'd be interesting to see how much was on the cutting room floor. Did they speed it up to make it within 2.5 hours?
I'm sure there was piles and piles.
Well, look at Phasma.
Yeah, Captain Phasma kind of turned out to be... not as big as a character as we thought.
She is a character.
Yes. The silver stormtrooper.
And she was a character that I was actually looking forward to because I didn't know how they were going to, you know, show that that gender change, that new, you know, whoa, they can be female, all that stuff. And then they did nothing, and I was like, ugh.
Who knows how many stormtroopers in the older movies were female?
Exactly.
None. True.
and we actually
they were clones.
Well, not in the original trilogy.
Oh, they weren't in the original. Yeah. They weren't using clones either.
No, they weren't.
2 and 3, maybe. But
just the prequels, they were clones.
Yeah. Well, I know that. Yeah, I watched
once
those
they got
movies,
to New Hope, the clone. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lathan, but the way I remember it, the clone strain was.
See, I don't know anything about the books or any. I really wish I would have read all that crap.
They age so
because
fast,
they're
pretty much gone unless
but they're
an anomaly.
They're not canon, though, are they, the books?
Not anymore. Not well, some of them are now, but the majority aren't. They're kind of cherry-picking some of the stuff out of there.
Just like the Bible.
But the stormtroopers from A New Hope on are normal people. Because Han Solo was in the Imperial Academy, and he got away from them, and Biggs, Darklighter... He was going to the Imperial Academy, but then he skipped out to join the Rebellion. So by the New Hope, somehow the clones had either died off or something had happened where they were just normal people. Because the Emperor
but
was...
But they were taking them like Unsullied in Game of Thrones. I mean, they were taking them as babies to like brainwash them.
Well, in the First Order.
Yeah, the First Order, yeah.
I don't know about New Hope. They didn't say that.
Yeah, they didn't say.
So did they ever go into the story on how... Ben became
no.
That's probably
another J.J. Abrams elusivity.
They had maybe a paragraph on it. Totally.
They all we know is
did
that.
Did he say a paragraph?
Yes.
So they when he was a maybe. Young boy, we don't know if he was like a young teenager. Uh-huh. Well, we don't know what age, but when he was a young kid, Han and Leia sent him with Luke and others because Luke was going to train the new generation of Jedi. And what was the order? The Knights of Ren.
Knights of Ren.
Was created, and somehow everything went to hell, and Ren, Kylo killed everybody besides Luke, and that's when he made his shift. So we don't know what caused that, what all happened there, who was involved. So
there's also a giant Sith Lord.
There's a giant Sith Lord.
And I would like to say I have very recently watched Episode 4. There is no proof that Snoke is a giant.
Snoke.
Oh, it's a hologram.
Yeah. It's a hologram.
Is there anything that actually mentions him as being a Sith Lord? Just
no.
Being of the dark side?
Rilo Ken or?
Snoodles?
Snoke.
Snoodles.
Snoke.
Wait, what? Snoke, I think is his name.
Because if you remember, I just watched it like less than 2 weeks ago, but in A New Hope, when the Emperor, or maybe it's in Empire... But either way, when the Emperor comes up, it's just his face in front of Darth Vader. And Darth Vader's huge. Standing there, tiny, and his head is like as big as the screen. So that leads me to believe that Snoke is probably, he may be big, or he may be small like Yoda, but I don't think he's as massive as they...
Wizard of Ozzy.
Yeah, he's the man behind the screen, basically. He's going to come out as this little hermit, and he's like, I'll get you with the Dark Force.
Well, there was, I think we're going back to, we were talking about Kylo Ren and how that all transpired, and see what you think about this, Nathan. I don't know what all happened, but some of them were thinking that, you know, Snoke, whatever the hell his name is, I can't remember.
I think it's Snoke, but I could be wrong, because I was thinking that's really close to Smoke. They should have just called him Smoke.
They're wondering, you know, was he the one that turned everybody? Because they say one of the trainees turned, but they never said it was Ben.
True.
And Snoke has what looks like a lightsaber wound across his face.
But he's hella old.
Well,
I saw something
but if
on
he went
Facebook.
To the dark side,
apparently, Sidious's
that's
master
true.
Is mentioned in like episode 2 or 3. Palpatine's master, Darth
Plagueis.
And if you look at some animation or some comic art of Plagueis from the probably non-canonical comic books. He does look like Snoke, but with part of his jaw removed, like a cancer patient. Yeah. So I'm thinking that maybe Snoke is Plagueis, and after Sidious died, he was at, because Sidious obviously turned against him, and so you know, he's able to come back into the scene,
and take up the power vacuum.
That's what they said on that. Of course, that was, you know, just something maybe on Facebook. I don't. Who knows? There's no real credentials, but the pictures did look similar that they were showing.
Because I have heard they've been cherry picking some stuff, and Plagueis at this point is non canon, and you know, but they
of course he isn't.
They could cherry pick it and bring it forward.
AU, that is the name for it.
Yep. Alternate AU, universe.
Alternate universe is true. Or a big FU.
We do what we want. We in the future now.
So, right? So Richard, or you want to?
So did Snoot. Oh, I don't know his name.
Snoot. He's called him Snook, Snoot, Sniggle.
He's going to get down to Snoot. It's Snooki. And then we're going to get down to Snoot Dogg. Yes.
This is seriously late for Richard. He hasn't been up this late.
Are you calling him an old man?
Did he actually turn Ben? And then, because at one of the holograms, see if you guys remember, Nathan, if you remember this scene, he says that Kylo is the last of the Knights of Ren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's actually in the trailer.
Right. The Knights are not part of Kylo's grouping. He was part of the Knights.
Yes.
And they have them all standing out there after they killed all the Jedi.
But were the Knights of Ren good guys, or were they bad guys?
Because if they were good guys and he was the only one that turned bad, or did they all turn bad and he turned the worst?
Or maybe the Knights of Ren pulled him over to the dark side because, see, he was called Kylo Ren after he went to the dark side. So I believe the Knights of Ren, and it's Snook or whatever that's that's saying, you know, you are the last of the Knights of Ren. So, I mean, it's obviously something that he's proud of. Right. So I think it's a dark side thing. And like I said, there's a lot of really good stuff skipped over. I mean, I know Harrison Ford's old, but they could have taken a little off, you know, did some reverse age progression or something and, like, gave us a little bit of this really good stuff that all got skipped over.
What do you think about the Knights of Ren, Nathan? I think it's good fodder for another, if not a standalone movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was all given real short shrift, you know. The Solo stuff, the Ren stuff, Knights of Ren, the First Order. It was just, we didn't really get to see enough of that. And maybe that's because of the Rogue One movie that's coming out. I mean, that's set a while ago, isn't it?
Yeah, between three and four.
Right, it's set right before, because I think this is supposed to where they get the Death Star plans in Rogue One.
Yeah, that's where they steal. The whole movie is supposed to be about what they had to go through to steal those plans, which I think is really awesome and hot, and I can't wait for that.
Mm. It sounds almost good. It won't really explain much, though.
No. Won't help us out a lot here, but
it sounds almost like they're turning a book that was in the Star Wars stuff into the movies.
Right.
Which they could do with probably a lot.
Oh yeah, like I said, they are cherry picking stuff, so they're using some stuff.
They're using this opportunity to bring a book into canon.
True.
Which is called the Movieverse.
Now, my curiosity has gotten to me. Hello.
Yeah. Nathan.
Still there, Nathan?
Yep.
Okay.
I've been watching it. The Skype's just changing pictures randomly. Okay. I don't know why.
So what happened to Chewie after Han passed?
He cried and then he got over it.
He cried and then got over it.
That is one of my gripes. Is the
I was going to say, isn't it your turn to go through your feelings about the movie?
Well, we've pretty much all been doing that.
Yeah.
But Chewie went apeshit and shot Kylo or Ben.
Screwed him up pretty good.
With his bowcaster.
I almost thought the first time I saw it that he neutered him.
He did not do that.
Ouch.
It was a low blaster blow.
Ouch.
It was very close to
that. But he went pretty much ape on the stormtroopers. He pretty much went into a rage.
He killed everybody.
And he came back and they landed on whatever planet the Resistance is on. And him and Leia just pass each other. And she goes to Rey and hugs her and not Chewie. And I'm like, Han just
Rey
died.
Don't care. and that's what you were mentioning earlier, Nathan.
Here's my question: did Chewie and Leia really ever like each other, or was it just because of Han?
They liked each other.
Yeah. I don't know. You never know.
We do know
when they first met. When they first went to Leia, her and Leia hugged, and you know they were joking around and everything. So. You know, but that was kind of an odd scene to me.
Yeah, and another weird thing was that, going along with what Nathan said, was that with the death of Han and And I mean, obviously Chewie reacted, obviously everyone reacted, and then Finn and Rey were up above watching it all, and they were just devastated. I'm like, bitch, you've known him for 10 minutes. And not only that, but the vast majority of their time together hasn't been sit down and get to know ya. It's been fighting for your life, and you know, so there's not really a time to be like, hey, let's be BFFs, you know.
I thought we were going to take turns, but I'll just go for it. So what I was going to say earlier, so basically I guess I have a very altered opinion of the movie than a lot of people, because a lot of what seemed to really weird a lot of people out or that they didn't like the things they didn't understand, I really got, and I really enjoyed. Like, my favorite, absolute favorite scene in the movie is where the stormtrooper gets the blood on his face mask, and removes it. And it turns out that this is a defective action, and that they're not allowed ever to remove those masks. So I didn't know that, but now that I know that there's a reason they hadn't been doing it before, and that this guy doing it is symbolic of very big things. Something that I thought about Finn was...
So what happens when he... What happened when he removed the mask?
He just got, like... Put your
hyperventilated.
Back on.
He actually, hyperventilated, and they told him to put his mask back on.
He was going to be sent back to training.
He died.
He died later.
Yep.
For real? No. Because he took the mask off.
So,
he died and became a new man.
No, he didn't.
So whenever that happened with Finn, and then whenever Rey refused the lightsaber and he used it, I really took that symbolically as that he's going to be more than just another trooper kind of. I don't know that he's going to be a Jedi or whatnot, but I do know that normal people are not supposed to be able to wield lightsabers. That's a Jedi's weapon, and for a reason, because you have to have a lot of bodily control to use a plasma cutter the size of a claymore, you know, around your own face and body and swinging it wildly. I mean, that it, if that thing existed, there would be so many amputees everywhere. It would just be unreal. So, you know, and I think that that was something they did on purpose, that having him temporarily and then it leaving it out, and also the way he entered. Just showing the blood on the mask in itself was very symbolic, that you know, that even though this is Star Wars, that it's going to be new and very different, even though a lot of people said that it mocked the fourth A New Hope. I think that there may have been, I mean, I know that I watched them both, I know there are similarities between them, but there are differences that are like that stormtrooper taking off, like interacting with a stormtrooper as anything but blaster fodder. I mean, they had no real value to anyone. Like, people were, oh yeah, you know, you can't stop us rebels, you evil takeover guys, you're gonna, you know, blockade our trade routes, but these stormtroopers will cap them off like they're nothing. And I mean, you know, and it's, and actually having feelings for a stormtrooper and watching a stormtrooper become something more, I think that that was something that, you know, was absolutely nothing like anything they'd ever done before, and like everyone just disregarded it, like, you know, it was a small plot point. And then the...
So what was Effin's number anyways?
2187.
Huh. I don't know.
It's the same number as Leia's cell in A New Hope.
I just... I liked Finn's character, and I thought he was pretty refreshing, because he wasn't...
excuse me.
He wasn't part of the rebellion. You know, he's not a rebel or anything.
But he said he was.
Well, he said he was so that he could, you know,
get in Rey's pants. Info. I know. Yeah.
But anyways, but he was.
Oh yeah, I'm a rebel.
Hey, what's up?
I also happen to be a rebel.
But no, I liked his character because when the truth came out and he was just a ex stormtrooper and all this stuff, he didn't want to join the rebels and everything.
I mean, would you?
He was too
he knew what they were fighting against.
All he wanted to do was get out. He didn't want to fight against them. He didn't want to fight with Rey and with Han and all that. He just wanted to leave. And I thought that was cool because a lot of this whole entire, the whole entire franchise is based on you're either with you know, the dark side or the good side. Yeah. You pick a side. And he was like, I don't want a side. I just want to get out. Like,
yeah,
let me be. Exactly. And so it's like, and it's, that's just reminding me of like, oh God, like all these innocent peeps be killing everywhere.
I think that, I think that makes him very much like the original Han Solo. The way Han was
because
in A New
Hope.
Because
Han didn't even want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was out for, I mean, he was a smuggler. He was out for
himself.
God,
until he died, he was like, eh, I don't know if I'm feeling this or not.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Up until the very end, he's like, I might join your rebellion.
And you know what? You know what? It's, and let's be real. Han Solo's death was Leia's fault.
Yes.
Okay, let's go into that. How,
in a sense, because...
How do you...
Because, okay. So Ben's their kid, and he went with Luke, uh-huh. got evil, blah, blah, blah. And then when they
you
went
you say
back,
that so natural. Ben's their kid, went with Luke, got evil, blah, blah, blah.
You just got to sum things
well,
up.
Blah, blah, blah is completely unknown. So it is
exactly,
indeed,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to sum it up. But, but so when they get to the secret base and everything, Leia, he said, you know, Ben's gone. I'm sorry. I saw him. All this stuff. And Leia says, no. Are Ben's still in there? You know, so if you see him, you got to promise me and everything that...
That you won't kill
that, him. That you won't kill him, that you'll try to get him back and everything. And so she swindled him. And then they hugged.
She swindled him.
I got so pissed off because they hugged. I'm like, can you at least not make out a little bit? I mean, you love each other. Yeah. Like, that made me
that
so angry.
Felt like the perfect place for
that was
kiss.
An awkward hug. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone knew there should have been a kiss there. Yeah. But anyway, so... And that's why he, you know, called for Ben and helped Ben out, you know, and everything was because...
Okay. So did they name him Ben after Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
So what do you think, Nathan? Did Leia cause Han's death?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I have to agree with April on this one. I mean, to a matter of fact, she caused it. Even if he was going to do that anyway, she pointed out, said, go touch the kid. Let him get his lightsaber real close to your abdomen on a big railing with no catwalk. No, I'm just kidding. Catwalk
and the
with
thing
no
is, Han tried to say, no, Leia, he's like gone. He's cray cray. And like, why is he going to listen to me? He wouldn't listen to Luke. And she was like, Luke's a Jedi. You're his father. Well, you know what? Anakin was your father, and look at how that worked out.
So what do you think of that progression, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole movie missing with, you know, that going off the rails and Leia and Solo and all that kind of thing, which I would love to see, but
you
just don't find out much about it, unfortunately. Yeah.
What was one of the favorite scenes you had? Because I know what mine is. Well, there's several, but I know the one that was really one of my favorite ones.
Well, a favorite moment.
Yeah.
One that I really liked, which was quite funny, was with Rey on the planet near the beginning, and she's scrubbing one of those spare parts that she's trying to sell.
Okay.
And then she looks up, and then there's this old decrepit woman doing the same thing.
And it's like an image of her future.
There's that moment of... Oh, okay. This is what I'm going to be. This is my future. So I thought it was just in that little moment, there was so much going on there. I thought that was great.
I like.
What was yours, Richard?
For me, it was another humorous one. It was kind of mentioned it before. It was when Finn and BB-8, the new droid, were kind of going
so
back and forth,
say.
And they were like, I'm
Finn
part of the resistance.
The
where's the map? Where's this all at? Where's the resistance located at? And BB-8 tells him, he gives him the thumb up, and BB-8 pulls out the ladder and gives him a thumbs up with a ladder.
But let's be real, it was not a thumbs up that he gave him. All right, you can tell your kids that, but that
wasn't a thumbs up.
That wasn't a thumbs up. Yeah, it was a big finger.
You know what my big gripe right with there. This movie is? In the originals, they didn't all talk droidies. They needed C-3PO. They needed him. That's the whole point. Like, they bought him, Luke's uncle.
To translate.
Yeah.
Oren bought him as to translate for R2-D2 and for other droid devices.
Right.
And I guess, like, Luke kind of starts in Jedi, Return of the Jedi, and maybe even a little bit in Empire talking, to and responding to R2-D2, but like I assume only just because, you know, I never thought that, you know, in this movie it seems like everybody can speak that and then speak to Chewbacca with ease, and I'm
except
like
Finn.
Finn can't, and it points out that Finn can't, but it's just like I really found that was that's my one thing. That's the only thing about the movie I didn't like, was the ease with which everyone just switched languages. like seriously, C-3PO was totally unnecessary if this is the case in A New Hope. So they kind of just like demolished the language barriers and the need for protocol droids, because that he was a common model. There were a bunch of them in the movies. He was just the one we followed, and then they brought him back in the movie, but as a totally, like, you know, so it was like almost character. Like you might as well have not brought C-3PO back at all, because you just made him useless by letting everybody speak to anyone they want in any language. It's like these are the most intelligent people that have ever gotten to a war over nothing. Like, it's space. You go over here and have your dark side, and you go over here. Like, you can get far enough away from each other. It's space. There's a lot of it. You know, so.
Well, and that's what got me is, you know, as the movie points out, you know, the dark balances the light, you know, yin-yang type of thing. And as we were talking afterwards, I realized that Jesus, you know, there will never be an end. There's not a winner.
Well, there can't be.
There can't be, because then it'll offset the balance.
Right.
You know? So, like in this movie, it just so happened that the dark side had the upper hand for a while, and we saw how that was going to crap. You know? So, I want to see it when when the light's got it, and I want to see that go to crap,
too.
That was
the prequels. It went to crap in the prequels.
Yeah.
I wish I was the guy that's, like, 4 billion light years away in a different galaxy with his little telescope watching that sun move. Because suck that sun into that machine, planet, space base thing, and then blow it up, and boom, you got a new sun. So to somebody very far away, it was just this star blinks out, and there it is.
All the navigation charts are useless in that area. What do you, just to end off on this one little note, what do you think BB-8 did, Nathan? Was he giving the thumbs up back, or was it with April giving him the finger back?
It was the finger.
Unless you have more to say, then just speak over it anyways.
What do you think, Nathan?
I think he wants to burn Finn.
Exactly. No, it's the bird. It's the bird. Okay, it's let's bird, be real.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
I don't even need the word. It's a threat.
Just from seeing like the previews and the way that BB-8 was acting, I could have just told you it was a bird. Even from
I can't tell you, because I would need C-3PO to translate for me.
With that, we're going to take a small break. We're going to have to close off on this one to come back in for a second part. So stay with us, Nathan. Don't actually go anywhere. But thank you, everybody, for listening. We've been having fun. Join us for our next part. Nathan's going to be still with us talking about Star Wars: A Force Awakens. So, everybody, we enjoy having you here. Enjoy the next showing. Bye.
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 Intermission.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.